Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you, and thank you for joining us. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and we just again get home safely if you're out for the weekend. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Very good. Now we're going to go right over to the legal aspect.
Yay! It's time for the Fannie Willis update.
The last one.
The last one. Because.
Oh, you want to bet?
Fannie's case has been dismissed. Here's what happened. The case, her office was disqualified by the Georgia Supreme Court, so it had to go to the Georgia Prosecuting Commission. The guy who's in charge of the prosecuting commission could not find a DA that would take the case, as I predicted. No DA would want that mess. And so he dismissed it himself. He asked the judge to dismiss it. The judge dismissed it. He said, he wrote a 22-page opinion. I haven't seen the opinion, but I did read the article that summarized it and said that he thought this case did not serve the interest of Fulton County due to the expense and the longevity of the case because it would take 5 to 10 years to prosecute it. That's assuming they have to wait for Trump to get out of office before they can prosecute the president. And that he just said, no, we're not going to separate the case and do Trump separately and do everybody else separately because of some wrinkle in Georgia's law and because of the cost. And
what about the merits of the case?
Well, he said this was a case that he thought belonged in federal court, that it would have been better brought by Jack Smith, and that Jack Smith didn't even charge him with a RICO. So, for all those reasons, he decided it did not belong in Georgia.
Does this impact in any way the case against Giuliani? And
they were part of the case.
They were off the hook.
All the 17, everybody.
Not just Trump.
No, everybody. It's all gone.
All the taxpayer money wasted on that.
Well, those people were paying for their own attorneys.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. You can be destroyed even if you're innocent because you have to defend yourself.
Right.
That's the danger with these.
So does case dropped, is that the same thing as charges dropped?
Yes, charges dropped. It's gone.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's gone, but they're not proven innocent, so there isn't a double jeopardy if somebody decides to do something stupid.
No, there's no double jeopardy. Jeopardy does not attach until you take the first evidence, testimony.
What about that thing that they call prejudice or with prejudice, where there's...
This is without prejudice.
And that means...
They could file it again.
So they could file it again.
Yeah, but they won't.
If you find somebody crazy enough.
Yeah.
And Fannie Willis may be crazy enough, but she doesn't have, I don't think she has the power and
no, she
have
can't,
the ability.
She can't file it again. Nobody's going to file it again because it was a mess.
But I don't think this is the last we'll ever hear of her.
Of her? Well, that may be true because she's still being investigated by Jim Jordan.
Isn't she still being investigated for mortgage fraud?
Not Fannie.
Okay. Oh, there's so many, I get confused.
Yeah.
We've got to keep everything, all these things in the air at the same time.
That was Letitia, right?
Letitia Jims.
Okay, and there's something going on with her too, right, Pat?
Okay, so we found out today that the judge, well, we found it out yesterday, I guess, the judge dismissed the indictments against James Comey and Letitia James because they were both brought by the same interim U.S. attorney, Halligan. The judge decided that Halligan was illegally appointed and therefore her indictments are null and void because the statute that she construed said that once the USDA, the one that has to be approved by the Senate, that once, if they're not there, that the interim has to be appointed by the district judge. And DOJ appointed, what's her name, Halsey, Halligan, something. Her last name's Halligan, that the DOJ had put her in there. So, okay, so Pam Bondi is, according to the article I read, is going to appeal the dismissal. And she has to do that because one of the reasons they had to rush Halligan in there is because the assistant USDAs were quitting every time they were, all right, you take that case. Nope, I quit. You take that case. Nope, I quit. There's not enough evidence to indict him. And they had written a memorandum on, you know, what is the strength of this case? What are the pros and cons of seeking an indictment? And they had concluded that there wasn't enough evidence to indict him, even though to the rest of us, it appears pretty open and shut.
Well, he made statements in Congress that we knew were lies. What more do you need?
I didn't get to read their memo, but they were leaking parts of it to the press to make, you know, to sow doubt about the case. And they put Halligan in there, and she ran it to the grand jury and got the indictment the day before the statute of limitations ran.
And that's the problem.
That's the problem, yeah. Because you know, if they wait till there's another USDA to rebring that indictment, the statute of limitations has run. So they're going to have to ask the appeals court to reinstate the indictment. Otherwise, Comey walks.
And on the opposite side of the coin, Letitia had to get the expiration date of certain things in New York State backdated?
No. On Letitia's, it's because Halligan brought that one. So she brought both of those indictments, so both of them were dismissed.
But on the ones that Letitia brought herself, didn't she backdate stuff?
No, they passed a law to allow...
You're talking about Alvin Bragg's case.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alvin Bragg's.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Keep them straight. Keep your New York cases straight.
Keep the cases straight. That's right.
Yeah.
Keep this law fair and ordinary.
Yeah. They passed a law in New York to specifically allow backdating the misdemeanors. The 34 felonies would have been misdemeanors, but for this federal law that they combined it with.
To make it a felony.
And they charged him with 34 counts because they paid her in 30 installments.
Installment plan.
And yeah. There was another one, too, where they changed the law to allow the sexual assault case to move forward in New York.
Yes.
That was a very specific law to allow.
And you know who funded that case? For her, Reid Hoffman. He's a billionaire, and he's one of the ones mentioned with Epstein.
Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Yes. Democrat has Democrat friends.
Well, it's interesting. We haven't heard any more about the Epstein case in the last few days.
It has been very quiet.
In spite of all the big release that went out.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, 65,000? 200,000 documents or some nonsense.
Yeah.
Now there's a whole number of names that, no, we don't have to pay any attention to those names.
Right. So at any rate, Comey and Letitia, now Letitia's case can be refiled by whoever becomes the U.S. attorney in that district because the statute of limitations hasn't run.
Now, she sent people to jail for what she did. Am I correct?
Well, she tried to bankrupt Trump over it. Because she essentially said mortgage fraud because he overvalued his assets.
So who appoints this district judge or is an elected opinion?
The district judge that's sitting in that district, according to the statute, is the one that appoints the interim.
And so what's your prediction on the replacement? Is it going to be favorable or unfavorable to re-indicting?
Well, it's going to be a question. Who's going to be there? None of Trump's USDAs have been approved by the Senate because they've been dragging their feet. So they don't have a duly approved DA. USDA.
Because they're not approving these in groups. They're trying to string it out and do all of the hearings individually.
Yeah. They're trying to throw as many roadblocks in front of him as they can.
Right.
The rhinos.
Yes, and the Democrats working together.
I think it's worse when the rhinos do it.
Yeah, I do too.
Because you expect it from an opposing party. You don't expect it from your own.
You know, I used to think we were all on the same side.
the side of America.
Yeah, I used to think that.
Yeah, we're naive. I used to believe that too, Mary.
Well, I think it's gotten worse. I mean, I don't think it's because we misunderstood it for all these decades. I think it's gotten worse. I think, you know, when I was younger, the Democratic Party, Republican Party, they were still patriotic Americans. They might have different views.
I agree.
But now we've got a Democratic Party, the reality of it. I mean, even their own party members are saying, this has really gone extremist. And this Islamic influence that's going on is really troubling.
I agree. And the AI stuff is very troubling, connected with all the political stuff, because every day you see things online and you don't know if it's true or AI generated. And to try to research some of the things, it's like every time I read an article that's from a podcaster that I'm familiar with, I have to fact check it. And then when I fact check it, I'm not sure that the source of the fact checking is accurate.
I read an article this morning about turkey slop. And which naturally caught my eye, turkey slop. And it was AI Thanksgiving recipes that have been made by AI, but they've taken snippets of people's podcasts and stuff and just jammed them together. So one of them was you had to bake this cake at 350 for 6 hours.
Oh, that would be nice and dry.
makes a hockey puck out of it.
That sounds like when they ask kids how to cook things.
So it said, be careful when you're looking for recipes online that make sure that an actual human has made the recipe in a kitchen and knows that it comes out.
And how do you make sure of that? Like I said,
if you read the one about the cake, you would know.
Well, if it's obvious.
Yeah. If we go back to some prior shows when we with Doug Gould on here or whatever else, and talking about misinformation versus disinformation.
Yes.
We'll continue this after the break.
Well, we got another half minute to go, and there's not a lot more to do.
Well, I wanted to make a comment on the judge that set aside the jury verdict on the $5.7 million that the Somalian stole.
We can come back
so
to that.
So that's our teaser.
That's the teaser. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for staying with us. And by the way, last week I was going to say the wrong show ran on Saturday morning, but the correct shows did run on Sunday, and they're all available on the CCTA website.
So you had a birthday, and it just discombobulated
you? Discombobulated. Well, this time it was not my fault.
Oh, okay.
Now, a few weeks ago, it was my fault. But I won't tell you how I messed up.
Okay.
Go ahead. Now, we're going to go to Minnesota.
Okay. The judge who set aside the jury verdict in the case where the Somalian was being tried for fraud for stealing $5.7 million in government funds.
In Medicare.
She set the jury found him guilty, and she set the verdict aside because she said it wasn't supported by the evidence. Now, it may surprise people to know that a judge can do this, and it sounds like there's never a good reason for the judge to set aside a verdict. But there is, it is a rule, a procedure, and it is, there is a solid basis for the rule, which is that sometimes in a case that gets a lot of public attention and emotions are whipped up, and if you remember the evolution case, the monkey trial,
yeah,
there's a good example. The OJ trial. There's a good example.
J6.
Unfortunately, no judge said.
Judges were hanging judges. But she found that the evidence that was admitted into court did not support the verdict. Now, I think her opinion is crap, but that's a good basis for setting aside a verdict.
Well, the interesting part of that was that the defendant and his wife were charged. The jury learned that his home health company was operated out of a mailbox at an address where multiple other home health companies were operated, and they spent thousands of dollars on luxury items. So they were living high on the hog, and there was no actual business to show for the money they were making.
Right.
Now, where the judge overturned what the jury found there, is that the defendants are then considered innocent, or is it just
not guilty?
So you can't retry that.
So the judge cannot be challenged on overruling based on his reasoning for doing that.
The DA can file motions to reconsider, but I don't think the judge will reconsider. So they walk.
And unfortunately,
with our $5.7 million.
Unfortunately, a lot of that money has been traced as having gone to Al-Shabaab, which is a terrorist organization.
Not according to AOC. Didn't you watch her on the news all over the place the last couple of days?
And, was it AOC?
AOC. Ilhan Omar.
We all know how smart she is.
Yes.
Well, you know, this whole issue about judges being able to do things without any kind of effective review is really troubling, because they had reported this case of this multi-arrest criminal who lit that woman on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And she had
75.
He was arrested 75 different times. And apparently he was out one most recently. He was put out and allowed to have a bracelet or something, you know, kind of a at home, detention. But that judge, any judge that would put the public at risk like that, it would be somehow sanctioned. My understanding is there is no process in place to do that. And so this woman now is burned badly, and she's in critical condition. Because this judge decided that 70 arrests didn't make the person a threat.
Unless this was a federal judge, it's a local judge, and they're voted on, so the public can vote her out.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether it was a local.
Well,
judge.
How was the judge in Wisconsin held accountable for helping somebody escape the ICE detainees? Remember when she
her case is coming up for trial in December.
So who prosecuted her?
they're still in the process of prosecuting.
Right, but she was the judge that made this decision. Somebody brought charges against the judge.
The district attorney.
Okay, so what Alan's question would be, is there a district attorney that could go after the judge that set this guy free, that enabled him to set this woman on fire?
No.
Therein lies the problem.
You know, going back again to a slightly earlier discussion here today, again, we used to have things that were basic protocol, and when it came to filing charges or doing whatever else, that we assumed would always continue to go. And we see there's an awful lot of creativity in the way things are done now.
You can thank Mr. Soros for a lot of this. Because he involved himself in DA races.
That's right.
And he funded a lot of DA races, and they managed to elect DAs that wouldn't prosecute criminal cases of a certain sort. Then he went after secretaries of state in funding their campaigns.
Yes.
So now you have election fraud. So we have a lot to thank Mr. Soros for.
We should remember
him tomorrow.
There is a video called Rocky Mountain Heist. It's a DVD. And it tells the story of how targeting specific state offices turned Colorado from a red state to a blue state. And it lines out exactly how they did it, how they manipulated public opinion, how they knew where they would put their money, and how they really upended the whole state. And part of the thing that was interesting to me is some of the charges when they first came out against some of these candidates that were running, had been in office, that were conservative Republican candidates, were so preposterous that the candidates didn't think they were worth answering. And those are the ones that they blew totally out of proportion and got public opinion to turn against the people.
Well, you remember George Bush never answered any of the slings and arrows that were tossed at him. And I think it engendered in Republicans a desire for a Republican that would stand up for himself.
Yeah.
And Trump is that in spades.
Yeah, we haven't had a backbone for a while.
Right.
And I think we have someone in office right now with a backbone.
Well, as conservatives or as Republicans, and not
we're 501c3. We don't endorse anybody.
But again, generally, those that are on what are considered the political right, we want to be left alone, and we want to do our own things, and we want to make our own successes or maybe endure our own failures. Whereas on the opposite side, at least as I see it, they want the government to control everything and
they want equal outcome.
Equal outcome, or they don't want you to be able to fail, and they don't want you to be able to succeed.
Yeah.
Well, Mom Donnie, in his victory speech, said there's no issue too small or too large for the government to handle. Now, that is the scariest sentence in his whole address.
That is the opposite of what Reagan said way back.
Yeah. To go with small government, we often say that the most important place in the government starts at the local level, and you see how it starts. But I'd like to bring one that's in our state right now. We've got Senator Tillis is not rerunning, so we've got a primary happening, but the powerful, the RINOs, aren't acknowledging that there's two people in the primary race. They're already acting like one of the two has won the primary, and they're polling their chosen one, which is Michael Whatley, against Cooper, and acting like Don Brown is not running. Don Brown is, in my opinion, a much better candidate. He's much more conservative. He has a very long resume where my experience...
Of successes,
where my personal experience with Michael Whatley has been full of disappointment and corruption. So I have a definite opinion, and I know I'm not allowed to endorse as part of CCTA, but I'm speaking as Kim Average here. And anyhow, right now, the North Carolina Values Coalition, who we have as CCTA brought in to speak with us many times, talking about abortion, talking about the Common Core with education, they have been with us many times. Well, they have come out and endorsed Michael Whatley. Well, Michael Whatley has personally stood against the several things, including when we were trying not to have the right to life, some of those legislative things. And he Whatley, has pushed forth, along with Berger, the gambling, the casinos, and I can't find or rationalize in my simple little mind how the North Carolina, quote, Values Coalition would be endorsing that candidate.
You'd have to ask them.
Well, it's been on Facebook, and believe me, they have how do you shut off the comments?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the comments, there are more people that felt like I did than were saying yay. But I'm just saying that's just an example of a local, something that started very local, and how now we've got the other influences statewide affecting the local. And then you've got the federal people who want Whatley. So are we going to research our candidates, or are we going to let somebody else choose our candidates for us? I'm saying, people, get busy and do your homework.
I was listening to a podcast, talk radio, the other day, and they had Michael Whatley on. And he was talking about, he was contrasting and comparing his stances versus Roy Cooper. And neither he nor the podcaster ever mentioned Dan Brown.
That's what I'm saying. They're acting like there's no primary and it's a done deal. And I really am alarmed about that.
And Whatley is making the media rounds. I have seen him on OAN. I have seen him with Eric Stackelbeck. I have seen him in a number. He's making the rounds as if he were the candidate. And he's not the candidate. And the grassroots does not necessarily support him.
And here again, people, look at where the money's coming from. Mm-hmm. A lot of Whatley's money is coming from out of state.
Mm-hmm. And I don't see him answering the questions when he's given questions. It's a new type of word salad, pardon my French. But
people have to start doing their own homework. And it's really kind of scary when people don't know who they're voting for. They just look for an R or a D. That doesn't necessarily mean the person has your values.
No, and I have been in a situation since living down here where there was a Democrat running for office who represented my values more than the Republican did.
When was that? How many years ago was that?
That was about 10 years ago.
Clerk of Courts? Right. A clerk of courts election?
I rest my case.
No, it was I don't want to say what.
More local race.
It was a local election.
Okay.
And the Democrat running, now I will mention that the Democrat running eventually became a Republican. So my instincts were correct, but he was more in line with my values than his opponent was.
Did you see the Republican who took Joe Manchin's place had to make an agreement with IRS to pay his $5 million in back taxes?
Oh, no.
Republican.
No, nothing to see here.
How do you get $5 million in back taxes?
He hadn't paid anything since 2019.
That's still...
He had businesses.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you want to take us off to part of the state?
This is really troubling. What's going on in Charlotte? We know, I think we all know that most of the largest cities in the country tend to go to the left. And a lot of them are sanctuary cities. And I believe Charlotte functions as a sanctuary
right.
city. So, and what we see is, you know, ICE has gone in there at President Trump's, encouragement, and they've begun arresting these people who have backgrounds of criminal backgrounds, have done things that warrant deportation. Now, I personally think anybody here illegally should be deported, all of them, no exception. That's the crime. Everybody that came here illegally has committed a crime. They should be deported. But anyway, they focus on the high-risk people first, which I understand. So they go in, and my understanding, they've made over 300 arrests, and it's been very effective so far. I haven't been in place too long. But the interesting is that the number of immigrants in North Carolina since 1990 has increased by eightfold. So there's eight times as many of these people. And there was this one of the Supreme Court justices, Anita Earls, she came out in opposition to ICE coming in, and I think one of the other judges on the court, a Berger, I guess his name is, that he thought that was inappropriate for her to do that. But and Governor Stein came out, demonstrated his, or said he opposed what ICE was doing. What you mentioned earlier, Pat, they had over 30,000 students protested by leaving school. They didn't go to school on a couple of days to protest ICE coming in. So, you know, it's the people, these younger people are being fed all this misinformation or whatever you want to call it. And they see what the government's doing to correct the crime problem as the problem. And it really should, they should be supporting what's being done to make their city safer. And what they're doing is the opposite.
Well, I wouldn't assume that all 30,000 students that didn't show up for school did it because they had been propagandized and chose to not go to school themselves. A bunch of those kids were illegal aliens and were kept home by their parents. Construction projects stopped because all the construction guys were illegals. They vamanoosed, and the taco stands were all closed.
We need to be going after this. Some of these employers that are hiring these people
as
well.
We have a law.
E-Verify.
But, well, no, a law that says that E-Verify is for to help the employer verify mm-hmm. that they have a valid Social Security number. But there's, within immigration law, you can go after the employers for employing illegals knowingly. But a lot of employers don't use E-Verify. They hire illegals anyway. Federal government doesn't prosecute them, and where they don't prosecute.
Well, I want to tie it together with all of the bigger cities also talking about and why Mondami got so popular in New York. He's talking about affordability and sustainability and food shortages, et cetera, et cetera. Well, in Charlotte, it's going to be the same thing when you start talking about there's a housing shortage. Well, why is there a housing shortage? Is it because you've brought in how many more people, like you just said, Alan? They have to live someplace. They have to eat. The kids have to go to school. Why doesn't the normal average American stopped to think about the whole circle instead of how it feels to be the humanitarian, because the cost to the country is insane.
Yeah, and then this is what you mentioned earlier when we're in our conversation. We were talking about how people don't stand up for their values. And this is what we see with this immigration issue. And this has been going on for a long time. We have known, I mean, by we, I'm talking about people that are patriotic Americans, that you can only take in so many immigrants, legal or illegal, without destroying your country, okay? There's a limit how many you can assimilate. And what we have, we've just, with what Biden did, letting in all these illegals, and us taking people from all over the world now, regardless of what their beliefs are, we're running into this issue with the Islamists, with, I think it's Dearborn, Michigan, where the mayor came out and said, we don't want to assimilate. He came out and said, we don't want to assimilate. We want to maintain our culture. We want to be what we were in the Middle East. We want to do that in this country. That should be stopped.
They should go home. They should. If they wanted to be like that, go back where you came from.
But the thing is, we had a system in place. The Republicans did from the 1920s to the 1960s. Then when Reagan came back in office, he had the opportunity to deport over 3 million people. And he was talked out of it. He allowed himself to be talked out of it for some promise that we would shut down the illegals. And we need to go back to that. We need to go back to a quota system where we look at where people are from. And we need, if somebody comes in this country legally or illegally, or even let's just talk about legally, if they will not swear to affirm that they will follow American law and American principles, they shouldn't be allowed in here. If they want to follow Sharia law, which a lot of them do, let them stay where they are. I mean, I'm not against them practicing their religion, their faith.
Century religion.
But right, but if that's what they want to do, but they shouldn't be able to do it here. So that's, we need to stand up for this. And
where are the feminists when the girls are not being educated, and when the girls are being married off, when there are honor killings?
Genital mutilation. The genital mutilation.
Yeah, where are the feminists?
You know, that went to court, case like that went to court, I think up in New York, and the court found that it was okay.
Because it was their culture?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then is honor killing okay? Because it's their culture?
No.
I mean, come on.
We had a case like that we read when I was in criminal law in law school. And the judge decided that murder is murder. And if it's an honor killing, you can explain it to your God. But while you're living in our country, you're under man's law, and murder is still murder. But that was a long time ago.
There are two of our politicians that are taking a strong stance. It's Representative Chip Roy from Texas. He's introduced a bill in the House that would outlaw the practice of Sharia law in this country as a determinant of a community or an enclave. Somebody wants to do something individually, but that does not override American law. And it was also, I think it's Tommy Tuberville from Alabama, the Senate. He's authored a bill in the Senate. So there is some interest in getting stricter about who we're allowing in this country, but I just hope we follow through on it.
Well, to add on to what you're saying, Ellen, I think to add on to that, we also need to end the birthright citizenship.
Absolutely.
Because that in itself is adding more problems, because when they're saying, okay, you came here illegally, but you had a child, so this child is American, well, then you can't deport mom and dad and grandma and grandpa because you're separating family. Well, I maintain every time we deploy an American soldier, we're separating a family. It's not like they're never going to see each other again. It's you broke the law. You have to move back to where you came from, and the American can go visit you.
No, the American can go with you.
That's true, too.
That's what they're doing now.
That's true, too. But this birthright citizenship, and I know that there is something being worked on, and I believe that Kennedy is back.
Trump issued an executive order outlawing birthright citizenship, and he's been sued, so it's in the courts. and it's going to eventually make its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. And an article I read about it said there's some precedent in an old Supreme Court case that tends to support the idea that birthright citizenship was not the intent of the founding fathers, that they didn't foresee it, and that the language in the
14th Amendment.
In the 14th Amendment doesn't support it.
Because it says thereof.
My understanding was that birthright citizenship all came up after the Civil War to ensure that people who were in this country as slaves, that they could remain, that they wouldn't be considered to be deportable. I think that's where it started. And like you say, Pat, it's been misinterpreted now that anybody that comes to this country has to be. So you have these women coming over from China and these other places. They're pregnant. They have a baby here. And then once they have a baby here, they can stay because it is so patently absurd.
The China ones, they take the baby back to China with them.
They take the baby back, and when the kid gets 18, they send him to an American college.
Yeah.
That's how they work that one.
Yeah. They have companies over there that run this as a business. They have, like, they've bought an old hotel, and they've got all these rooms full of pregnant Chinese women.
But still, in my mind, it still goes back to, why do all of these hundreds of millions of people want to live here if we're so awful? And once they get here, why do they want to change it to what it was so awful that they left? I don't understand. I must be really stupid.
Well, you're being rational.
You don't understand because it doesn't make sense.
It does make sense. People are used to what they're used to.
Then stay where you're at.
But when you can come here and get all this free stuff and get all these things, they put you up in these hotels in New York City that are $400 a night hotels. We cater to them. Why shouldn't they come over?
Because they don't belong here, and we need those homes and those jobs for the Americans.
Well, of course, that's the reason. What I'm saying is they don't see it that way.
Being the New Englander, okay, you're going to have to also beat on us as having been in New England, because when we moved down here from New England, we were used to having street lights on every roadway up there. So now that we're down here and we don't have street lights on every roadway, folks, we're going to, not me, by the way, but they're going to demand that we put up street lights on every roadway, and they will have to increase our taxes. Well, to support the streetlights. I don't want to increase the taxes. I am willing to live on a roadway without the streetlights.
That's what your headlights are for.
That's right.
I want to go back to the immigration for 1 second. At one point, I worked for an employer, and I stayed 2 weeks. Once I saw his payroll, I left. He was hiring illegals, paying them under the table, and paying them less than he was paying the Americans. And that is to the illegals, it was good money, because they didn't get anything like that in their own country. And to him, it was making a profit.
There were, a couple years ago, there was something about money that the illegals were making under the table, the cash money they were making, and then they were Western Unioning it back to their countries.
They're called remittances, and remittances to Mexico is like the fifth largest source of their country's income.
Yes, and that has been stopped also. That has been, they put a tax on it or something to slow it down.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. We're back. Mary?
I made a mistake. There hasn't been a law passed regarding remittances, but the fact that they have removed the number of illegals that they have and the new policies that have come in, the amount of remittances to other countries has dropped drastically. Western Union stock went down 15% because of the changes in the business model. And just to give you an example, in January 2025, Nicaragua received 3.73.5 million in remittances, and that amounted to 27% of Nicaragua's gross domestic product. So that is something we've got to tax or get rid of.
Well, you can't get rid of remittances. You can send money home if you want to. So it's either tax it or not tax it.
Yeah, so I think we're going to have to tax it.
And you have to send money to your kid if they're stuck in Europe and need money.
And AI makes that phone call.
You got to pay your child support.
Yes.
The Carolyn Leavitt, the Trump's spokesperson, her nephew's mother just got picked up by ICE.
Yes, I saw that.
She overstayed her visa, and she's been here since 1999. The nephew has lived with Caroline's brother since he was born. So the husband, Leavitt, and his wife are not together. She's from Brazil. They had a picture of her. She's hot. But she's claiming that she's covered by DACA. So we'll see how that turns out.
That's going to get interesting.
Because she was brought as a child.
But, you know, this business about the money being sent over, and we, you know, it's like you mentioned earlier, when they had the Charlotte's Web program in Charlotte, and the businesses shut down, people didn't go to work, and so on and so forth. And it shows you how we have allowed ourselves to become dependent on these immigrants. And I think part of the problem, you have... there's not a balance in our country anymore between the work that needs to be done and how we're preparing people for it. We got all these kids coming out of college. You know, we've been encouraging them over the past 20 years. Everybody should go to college. There's not enough work for them.
Well, the Ford CEO said he's got 5,000 master technician spots open, but he can't find any Americans that'll fill the spots.
Yeah, because we're not training people for the work force that's needed.
Well,
and I think we need to turn.
We
that
told
around.
Everybody to go to college.
Well, that's exactly what I just
we
said.
We also took manufacturing out of our country.
Yeah, That took.
And when we took manufacturing away, that was a lot of the jobs that, that people would go into right out of school if they didn't have college or the trades.
But if you're operating a business, and let's say, for example, you need an employee, to a technician, say, in air conditioning. So you got two choices. You got some illegal that comes up that knows how to do the job. You put them on the job. Or you could hire an apprentice as an American. We need programs to train our own people. Like, I have a grandson who just graduated from college last year. And he went to a school where he took marine science or something, and didn't have any plans to go on to an advanced degree. So he had a bachelor's degree in marine science, which is useless. It's a useless degree.
Right.
He came out. Fortunately, his father, my son, is in the air conditioning business, refrigeration business. And he encouraged his son to get some training with the community college. Now he's working, he's making good money, and he enjoys it. So what I'm saying is that we need to get back to directing the workforce in this country where it's needed.
Amen.
And this AI coming in is really hitting some of these computer programmers, and this is going to be another area that AI can really disrupt what we have.
Yeah, the AI is going to clean out the college graduates.
They do it.
You know, Mike Rowe is constantly preaching that young people need to go into the trades, and he's a good spokesman for that.
But you know something else, what you were saying, Alan, about these jobs that are useless degrees. I just interviewed somebody to help me do a little bit of housework. They want $40 an hour.
Are they illegal?
No, they're not.
They want $40 an hour to do what? Clean your house?
To clean my house. My landscaper, who is also an American, all we have him do is trim our bushes because I mow the yard. He gets $35 an hour. There are jobs that you can do that take zero education and zero training,
sure.
Just a good work ethic.
Yeah.
And the people that, and the $40 an hour one was actually the cheaper one. I had talked to one that Mary had recommended, and it was more.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that it's the culture of the work ethic that I think the American kids have a problem with, because we raise them thinking they're too good to sling French fries or sweep a floor or...
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, it's the idea that if you just go to college, everything's going to be just hunky-dory when you get out and,
Well,
it is a work ethic issue.
I had a Russian degree, but luckily for me, it was the height of the Cold War.
But they're unwilling.
Prepared for that.
Yeah. Again, today, many kids are unwilling to enter the job market and take that entry-level job, which you're going to prove that I can come to work every day I'm supposed to come to work. I can come on time. I can leave on time. I can do what's asked of me. People don't want to do that now.
But they don't want to work either. These are the same kids who won't make their beds or clean their rooms. They don't want to work. One of the problems that I hear about from members of my family who are still working, my son specifically, he's an engineer and he works for a manufacturing company. And he said that the new engineers that are coming in want to come in at 8 and leave at 5. Well, if you're in a manufacturing environment and the machine breaks, you don't get to go home at 5.
No.
But it's just the mentality. And they want to start at $100,000 plus. They don't want to start at, you know, the beginning wage. So we have raised our kids, or this generation kids, to feel, I'm using that word on purpose because of social emotional learning, blah, 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 to feel their value is so much greater and that their time is worth so much more.
Well, I think part of it, too, is that with the shrinking birth rate. Now, I don't know how many siblings you had. I had 5 in my family.
There were 4 in a month.
My father worked. My mother never worked, okay? Never had a job outside the house. When we were growing up, if something went wrong, you had to fix it yourself or it didn't get fixed. The first car I had cost me $65.
Duct tape and hot glue gun.
It was worth it. But the point is, you learn self-reliance. You learn to do things on your own. and therefore you and you after a while you feel good when you can accomplish something.
Right.
And many of the things I did like that, I felt better after I achieved it than I did writing some paper in college.
The the running boards on my bug, the first one I had, were held up with kite string.
Oh, dear. But have we reached the point where the starter job is going the way of the starter home?
Well, when you want to get $30 an hour to work at McDonald's and then wonder why the hamburger costs $13.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some jobs, Mary, I think the answer to that are being automated. For example, if you go into a factory, there's a lot of jobs now that are machines. But there are still these jobs, like we're talking about, like repairmen and so on and so forth, that has to be done by a human being, at least, you know, so far. So
it's interesting that doctors now are using robots and computers to do surgery, but they're still the doctors.
Well, some of that's for accuracy and less invasive as far as healing and germs and all that kind of stuff. So that doesn't bother me as much because they're still operated by the human.
Yeah.
I remember working in a company which made measuring equipment. And when you came to the measuring equipment and you needed, now this is pre-computer stuff, but you needed like the gauges right out on the line. And they also asked to have repeat gauges up in the office. So the question was, we can only supply one set of gauges now. Which one do you want put in first? The ones up in the office. They already know the problem on the line.
Right.
They don't need the gauge to tell them they got a problem.
Because they're doing the job.
They're doing the job.
Well, right. I do have a little bit of good news since, and it's a little late for Thanksgiving because the show's going to be after Thanksgiving, but the federal government, FDA, has come out and said you can now eat as much saturated fat as you want.
Oh, yay.
So as Christmas approaches and so on, this is another perfect example of government control.
Prime rib for everybody.
Yes, for years they've been telling people, eat low fat this. And what they find is, and I think, not Senator Kennedy, but Bobby Kennedy is really behind this. Mm-hmm. And I think he's doing a great job at getting this information out. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, for a long time, they were telling mothers, don't buy whole milk, buy skim milk, 2%, all that stuff. Now they're finding it's quite the opposite. And what do? They replace those fats with sugar. And that's turning out to be worse for people.
Remember
and that's
when
why
said,
we have all these increase in diabetes and so on. So it's a complete reversal.
You're only allowed 2 eggs a week. I remember that
in the 80s. The new villain is trans fat.
That's the rations from World War II.
Yeah.
You know what? I was shopping in a grocery store one day, and this guy and I struck up a conversation. I was looking at the butter and made some comment about I grew up eating margarine, but the first time I ever tasted real butter, I was like, that's it. Real butter for me from now on. And he said, did you know if you put a tub of margarine out on the sidewalk, the ants won't even eat it?
Yeah. <That's okay.
laughs> But the new villain is trans fat.
Oh, and I read an article the other day. This farmer decided that it would be cheap to feed his hogs leftover sweets, so ho-hos, ding-dongs, snowballs, stuff like that that he could buy that were day-old or whatever. He said at first the pigs eat it, and then afterwards they refuse to eat it, and they won't eat the ho-hos or the ding-dongs. And he had a snowball. You remember those?
The pink coconut.
The pink coconut, and he put
forever,
it...
Forever.
he put it out there, and not only did they not eat it, nobody did. The rats didn't eat it. Nobody ate it.
There is no expiration date on that.
And he said, and it didn't rot. It just sat there in all its pristine loveliness.
Well, those foods are not preserved. They're embalmed.
Oh, that's...
You know, that's, but I mean, the new villain is trans fat, and that might be a valid villain.
I thought it was high fructose corn syrup.
Well, that's another, that is bad stuff.
And all the cancers are supposed to be connected to sugar, so we'll see about that.
Well, sugar isn't good for us, but it tastes good.
I guess.
Well I'm not giving up sugar.
Me too.
I have a sweet tooth.
Me too.
What else do we have?
Well, we can mention that the world's strongest woman just had her title taken away because she's a man.
Named Jammy.
And how did it come out that the woman was a man? Did somebody challenge the...
I don't know, but the woman that finished second, she was standing on the podium mouthing, is this over yet? Can we go now? She was PO'd.
I could imagine.
Yeah.
I could imagine.
So she knew.
It would appear to me to be pretty easy to verify whether he's a man or a woman before the event takes place.
You silly boy. Hey, you think you know what a woman is?
You know.
There was a whole movie done on that. Yeah. What is a woman?
Well, folks, you know, on that, I think we're going to have to wrap the show up before we get kicked off the air. This is CCTA Wake Up Call Show. You have a wonderful week.